Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org. WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is Curious City. Last episode, we talked about how Chicago may not have a specific Filipino enclave, like, say, Greektown or Chinatown, but the community comes together and supports each other nonetheless. Well, Filipino food in Chicago is definitely a part of that. The Filipino food scene is actually getting its flowers right now in neighborhoods across the city.
Hello.
Hi.
What's going on?
We went to a couple spots to find out more.
Francis Almeida. Oh, that's nice coming out.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good, kind of rolls off the tongue.
First, I met up with Francis Almeida in one of his many Philippines-inspired businesses.
You don't put any sweetener or anything, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely.
I'm kind of addicted to matcha right now, and you're hearing him make me a matcha latte sweetened with ube, which is a purple Filipino yam.
Ube, just do the ube. Let's ube. Keep it. Yeah, let's do that. I've never had ube in it.
Let's get in the theme.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get on brand here.
Francis is the owner of a coffee shop called Side Practice in Lincoln Square. He opened it in 2020, and it was originally called Side Project.
The whole idea was to not only showcase the things that I was working on or what my friends and family were working on, but also this network of people who all had side projects.
Love it.
Around that time, during the pandemic, everyone had a side project, whether you were making sourdough bread or making matcha for the first time because you had some time. What started to happen at Side Practice is we started to get known for the starting place for entrepreneurs and makers and people who wanted to start something, especially in the minority community, let alone the Filipino community. And a lot of things were born from that.
Filipino food has had a presence in Chicago for a long time. Francis specifically name-checked Ruby's, which opened in 1997, Isla Pilipina, which opened in 2003 and closed in 2020. There's also Uncle Mike's Place, which has been serving Filipino breakfast since 2008, Sunda, opened in 2009, Pecking Order, which served fried chicken for a couple years starting in 2012, and then more recently, Bayan Co. opened in 2018, and Boonies opened in 2023. I mean, honestly, there are too many more to count. But when I asked him why this cuisine is getting its due right now, Francis gave some of the biggest props to Tim Flores and Jeannie Kwan, who opened a restaurant you may have heard of called Kasama in 2020.
Establishment Kasama, the world's first and only Filipino Michelin-starred restaurant.
I think there have been moments where Filipino food has gotten a shine, whether it's from Anthony Bourdain talking about it or writing an article about it and people kind of, you know, seeing it for the first time, but then it would kind of die down again. Mm. You know, it would get all this hype and then it would go slow down.
Yeah.
But then in 2020, when we all started to get a rise from it, I think it was just like some kind of shift happened, and not only did Kasama open up or Side Practice open up, but a bunch of other places started to kind of come out of the darkness and open up their own thing. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, there's a big wave going on, and let's just ride it for as long as we can. And then that wave, it came, and we're just riding it at the moment.
Yeah. How's it feel? How's it feel to be riding the wave?
Oh my God. I feel grateful for it and blessed that it's happening. Cause it's, you know, it kind of gives you this feeling that anything is really possible. And a lot of people get to if they're working it on Filipino on the food or cuisine on the side, it's like now is a better time than ever to be able to showcase what you're doing.
Mm.
Yeah, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Through new side practice, Francis has had a hand in showcasing some of these businesses. He's a part owner of two spots opening soon, Kanin, a Filipino-Hawaiian restaurant, and Del Sur, a Filipino bakery, both in Ravenswood.
God, you can take it with you.
He's also a part owner of the spot where we're having this conversation, Novel Pizza in Pilsen, which serves coffee and matcha and tavern-style pizza, including one with jardinera and longaniza.
So longaniza is that breakfast sausage that we used in Filipino breakfast. It's kind of like this sweet sausage, and then jardinera, you know, spicy awesomeness.
If someone were coming here and they're like, this is a normal, amazing pizzeria, what's so Filipino about it?
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
Oh, I'd actually like if someone would come in here and say like, hey, I thought I was coming into a Filipino spot. This is not necessarily, this is just the pizzeria. Like, at least the way that I'm running businesses, I do think there are, you know, businesses, Filipino cuisine out there that should be saying that they're, you know, that's what they do. You know, but we're, at least here at Novel, it's like, we're a Filipino and Mexican-owned pizzeria, but also we're a Chicago-style pizzeria. And I just want people to know that we make good pizzas here.
Yeah, that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Francis says another reason Filipino cuisine is booming in Chicago is because the Filipino business community is so tight and supportive.
I don't know if Francis mentioned anything about our little group chat on Instagram.
No.
We're called The Seed.
Kathy Vega Hardy is the owner and chef at my next stop, A Taste of the Philippines.
We have one pickup a month.
Her restaurant is in Jefferson Park and is one of the businesses that got a lift from a side practice pop-up.
Yeah, they're hot. They're fresh.
They were out of ube donuts by the time I got there.
It's green. Bright green.
But they did have a pandan cookie.
Mmm. Crunchy and soft.
And Kathy made me one of her most popular items, lumpia.
Mmm. Mmm. Ooh, crunchy, sweet, and savory. What more can you ask for? For the person listening who doesn't know, what is lumpia?
Lumpia is hand-rolled egg rolls. Ooh. So we hand-roll everything here. We take pride in that.
As you should.
Another essential dish of Kathy's is adobo.
So it's like chicken or pork or even mushrooms simmered in soy sauce, vinegar, garlic, bay leaves, peppercorn, or lots of like coarse black peppers, served over rice here. It's a staple.
Kathy was born in Manila. She says her family moved to Springfield, Illinois when she was 9 years old.
For whatever reason, my dad moved us in little Springfield.
It's the
not
capital.
Chicago, not San Francisco, in a little town, Springfield. It's like 130,000, 120,000 people, right?
Her journey to owning the restaurant we're sitting in started in Denver in 2012 after she lost her job as an accountant. She says she took it as a sign.
I've always wanted to kind of own a business, but I didn't know what. So I think that was the drive that gave me the business. But the downside is I did not cook. But my mom was a chef when we lived in the Philippines.
Wow.
So I flew her out in Denver. I'm like, Mom, cook with me for 2 weeks, you know, and I want to learn. And she's kind of like, you sure you want to do this? Because growing up, you didn't want to help. Like, there's four of us girls, my sisters. I was a daughter that didn't want to sit in the assembly line of like lumpia wrapping.
Mm.
So she kind of calls this as like my karma because now I do it for a living. So yeah, so I just didn't like.
Back wrapping.
Exactly. So I'm like, I've rolled, I don't know, maybe over 200,000 lumpias
in
the almost 13 years I've been in business.
Chicago ended up on Kathy's radar after she met a guy named Andrew who lived in the Windy City at the time.
I met my now husband through Instagram. He slid into the DMs and was like, hey,
love
your food. And I'm like, who's this guy? But you couldn't see him. But anyway.
She was flying back and forth between Denver and Chicago in 2017. And that's when she noticed Chicagoans must have a taste for Filipino cuisine.
Every time I would go to Daily Plaza or South Loop Farmers Market, I sold out within 40 minutes or something.
Whoa, that's quick.
So every single time. So I'm like, I have to move there.
What do you think it is about the cuisine that people really latch onto?
I think it's because it's like a melting pot of a lot of different, like Spanish influence, Chinese and American kind of blended to all together. And with the way I prepare, it's like less greasy. So, you know, it's like a melting pot of a lot of different cultures.
Yeah.
But we made it our own too, so.
Do you think there's something that you could point to that's like quintessential about Filipino food that you love or that you love to talk about or think about?
If someone were to ask me what the epitome is of being a Filipino, I think it's in our blood, at least it, with me and my family. We're very giving. We like to serve. So I think there's something about like cooking and serving people. You know, seeing people take that first bite of adobo or lumpia, and they go, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like, to me, that's rewarding.
Yeah, it serves you so much.
It serves me so well. So when Lola, that means grandma, or Tita, that means aunt in Tagalog, when we get the okay from them going, that's really good, I'm like, yes. I just feel like I won in life. You know? That's outside my home. So it's
a badge of approval.
Yeah, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Because they're very critical.
This sentiment actually came up a few times, that despite the many influences in Filipino cuisine, there's a sense for some folks that traditional is the best and only way to go. It's kind of a balancing act.
I'm a huge fan of keeping traditions and authenticity.
Again, here's Francis Almeida.
But I do think a lot of innovation comes from trying new things and being playful and innovative with Filipino ingredients. You know, putting ube in a latte wasn't a thing before 2020, but now I think every cafe has ube, you know? It's like, or putting longanisa in a dish. It's kind of an inauthentic way of presenting Filipino food. Yeah.
Maybe the current rise in popularity of Filipino food in Chicago has something to do with what Francis is saying here. Despite some restaurants being around for a while now, this younger generation is taking an opportunity to try something new. And not just with food, but with entrepreneurship in general.
Being second generation, there's a lot more awareness that you could actually do your own thing. Not to say that that was a thing before, but like my parents came here from the Philippines just to, and all they knew was to work, you know, to survive. It wasn't really a thing to kind of like follow a side project and that side passion and make that a reality. And I do believe that that was a route for some, but not most. You know, a lot of titas and aunts of mine are all nurses, you know, and I think this generation is maybe the first generation where we're at an age right now to be like, well, maybe the medical field isn't the only thing I have to get into, or can I actually open up something on my own? And I think you're starting to see that.
Francis says a perfect example of that is his cousin, Ryan. He's both his business partner at Novel Pizza and a nurse.
He gets to be able to open up a pizzeria and work, you know, here on his days off, bless him. But that's becoming more of a norm, which I really appreciate and am really excited for, at least in the city. Yeah.
This episode of Curious City was produced by me and Justin Bull. Mary Hall is our digital producer. Susie Ahn is our editor. Special thanks to reporter Micah Yason. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you have questions about Chicago and the region, send them our way at curiouscity@wbez.org or visit us at wbez.org/curiouscity. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.
Rise and shy. WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.